Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of King David? When you just hear the name David in general. David from the Bible. Let's not talk about other Davids you might know. Goliath? What else comes to mind when you hear the name David? Old Testament David. Bathsheba? Good soldier? Patience? He did a lot of great things, right? I mean, to some degree, he must have. There's only so many people from that long ago whose names are still used today. He had to have done something memorable, right? I'm pretty sure that thousands of years from now, there aren't going to be anyone sitting around talking about that Pastor Chris Odie. You know? I'm just saying, the odds are bad. So, but we still remember David. We still talk about David, the things he did, the great things he did, the king, the fantastic warrior. And Chris brought up some of the less great things he did. Like when he betrayed his own men in order to, when he betrayed Uriah to marry Bathsheba, take her as his wife. David had his good spots, he had his not so good spots. I don't want to dig too much into today's text, except I want to point out something that occurred to me when I was talking to the Bible study group this past week. You have the reading in front of you right now? Judy did this great job of labeling all the verses. Do you see verse 3, the first time you see the little number 3? So all the elders of Israel, that line. What do the elders of Israel do with David? Covenant. Does anything strike you about that word? That word covenant? What comes to mind for you when you hear the word covenant? Agreement, treaty. I think of God. I think of God when I hear that word covenant. Because if you stop and think about it, how many times in Scripture do we hear the word covenant being used to describe a relationship between God and the people of God? It's a lot, right? You think back to the time of Noah. He talks about a covenant, and a promise. The time of Abraham, Moses, all these covenants that are going on between God and the people. Just last week, or no, 2 weeks ago, we talked about a covenant with Moses, through Moses with God and the people. But who's today's covenant between? It's between the elders and David. Where's God? He might have witnessed it. It says that he did it before him. Before the Lord, this covenant is made. But it's a covenant between people, right? You know much about the history of when David became king? Or when any of the kings actually became king? Kind of fuzzy memories in the background. The people of Israel did not always have a king. They had what they called judges. There's that whole book called Judges. It's an easy way to remember it. And the judges are basically kind of like a melding of high priest and ruler. They're not king, but they kind of function as one, but not really. Is this kind of ringing a bell for people from years gone by? Bible studies of years gone by? Bible studies older than my stole? People didn't always have a king. And there's this famous passage in the Bible in the Old Testament where they get really upset about the fact that they don't have a king. And they say, look, we need a king. We want to be like all of the other people. You kind of remember this? Some of you do. They say this to God. We want a king. We won't be a real people, a real nation until we have a king. God says, you don't need a king. You have me. They say, yeah, but we want a king. God says, no, you don't get it. You have me. You don't need a king. But we want one. Right, but you don't need one. Yes, but we want one. It's like me talking to my kids. And so God finally says, fine. You'll have your king. And if any of you know anything about the history of the people, you know that that didn't always go so well. And in fact, it ends with the destruction of the kingdom. It ends with the destruction of the nation. Is this kind of ringing a bell for some of you? I'm doing the Reader's Digest condensed version. I apologize to those of you who don't know what I'm talking about. The people had no real king. They say, we want one. God says, you don't need one. God says, or they say, we want one. God says, fine, here's your king. The people go on. They think everything's great, and then eventually it all collapses and they lose everything. And part of it was because they had their faith in their king and they did not have their faith in God. And I know I'm probably reading too much into it, but when I read this past week with the group on Thursday, it immediately struck me when I saw that covenant language. I was like, oh, well, there's some foreshadowing right there. Because the elders didn't make this covenant with God, they made it with David. Because David's going to stand in for God. David's going to be that mighty king. He's going to be perfect. He's going to be everything they need. And yet, those of us who know the story of David know, no. He falls on his face. Because he's human, and that's what we do. It's like our superpower. Give us enough time, we will fall on our face. We'll get back up. That's the other thing we do. Switching from the judges, switching from having this primary emphasis on God as their ruler to the kings was not the best move that the Israelites ever made. And they lost a lot as a result because they put their faith in the wrong things. I mentioned to you at the start of worship that we have a lot of people who either are in or have been in the hospital of late. I'm going to miss some if I try and go down the list. There has been elective surgery. You know, things like Chuck's ankle and Nancy's knee that was being talked about. There's been serious things like Rance with your shunt. There's been situations with Dick Scanson now and the surgery he had for cancer. He's doing okay. Ish. He's recovering. I just found out this past Sunday, some of you know Carl Murray, younger guy, uses a cane, oftentimes is sat in the back. Carl had a massive heart attack on Sunday. I went and visited him last night. He's getting discharged today, ideally. Got a text message from Evie Ninga. I have a friend named Evie. I always want to switch them now when I do the names. That her son has sarcoidosis, I think it's called. Another serious condition. There's been so much stuff going on. Mona Drake dealing with her lung cancer diagnosis. I'm forgetting things. Judy, your son-in-law. John. Ashley's compartment syndrome from her broken arm. Chuck and Ruth's granddaughter. Sarah's at home with the flu, but that's small potatoes by comparison. There's been all this stuff going on, and don't get me wrong, this is just, hear me out with the full sentence here. It occurred to me last night as I was driving home. It occurred to me last night as I was driving home from the hospital after seeing Carl that I would so much be rather visiting people in the hospital like that than arguing with people about real estate. I'm not happy that anyone's in the hospital. Please don't take that as some sort of morose thing. But I realized after visiting so many people this past week on my way home, you know, last night at like, I don't know, 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, a thought popped into my head like, wow, this has been so much of late, and yet, wow, it has felt so meaningful and just so good to be able to be there for people and to be able to check in with people. Because that's really what this is all about, right? Like we've talked about this before, that the whole point to God calling us together is this reminder that we are here to love the Lord our God right? And to love our neighbor as ourselves. I was given the weirdest example last night of human compassion. I decided after all these visits, I went to the store. I had to do some shopping. I finally had time to do it, so I stopped by Fred Meyer, and I went and I was going through, grabbing all of my stuff, and I was in the checkout line. And for some reason, I don't know why, for some reason I said to the cashier, he must have been like, I don't know, 20-teen or something. I mean, he was a child. It was, even I thought so. He was like 12 years old, and he's checking me out of the, you know, through the register. And I looked at it, and I don't know why I said this, but I looked at him and I said, you ever just have one of those weeks? And he just kind of nodded. I said, it's been one of those weeks. And he looked at me, and I got such a kick out of this. He looked at me, and he just kind of thought about it for a moment. And he goes, you need a hug? And I looked back at him. I said, I could take a hug. So we gave each other a hug. Finished the transaction, went on my day, went home. Sarah's thought was, well, that was weird when I told her about it. But I didn't think so. I thought it was really sweet. And I thought it was such an amazingly just tangible reminder of God at work. In small ways, in unexpected ways. That's what I have been seeing through all of this. When people have been having surgeries and recoveries and all of this stuff, what I keep seeing time and time again is people flocking to that person or those persons there with prayers and cards and hope and love. I've been reminded of that constantly for weeks now, because no offense, you've all been getting sick for weeks now. It is that time of year. But it's been this reminder that that is what truly matters. That love for each other in the name of Christ. It occurred to me that what happens in this place is more important than that it happens in this place. Do you follow me? I keep thinking back to something that was said to me after we had our vote, you know, months ago. And she's not here, so I'll even call her on the table for it. But Diana, she made the comment to me afterwards. She looked at me with this look on her face, and it was a positive look after that vote and that conversation, that congregational meeting we had. And she said, "Today we chose community over a building." We chose community over a building. And that's what I've been realizing and feeling so much this year in the background of all the distractions that I've let myself get hung up on. Like those people, those kings that were making deals with David and thinking that was where it should be. I've been allowing myself to focus on this real estate stuff when the most important thing was right in front of me, and it was you guys. Well, actually, it was God, but it was you guys. That love of God and for each other. It's Reformation Sunday today. As I said to you earlier, Reformation Sunday is not just a chance to sit back and say, wow, 500 years ago, things happened. Let's all be happy about what happened 500 years ago. Don't get me wrong, it was great. Good on them. Yay, team. But it's not important because it happened 500 years ago. It's important because it is still happening today. It's important because even here today, we are still finding opportunities to reform our faith, to find ways to reform what it means for us to gather together as community, ways for us to love one another, ways for us to be reminded that our true faith is not in any one person, any one king, any one pastor, but our true faith is in God. Because in God and in the love of God made known in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is where we will ultimately find our purpose and our deepest joy. God is not done with us. And I will keep saying to you that to you every day that I can draw breath. God is not done with us. And every day is a chance to live a life that testifies to that truth. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. We give you so many thanks, O God, for the opportunities to gather in your name, a chance to remember the ways in which we may be your hands in this world. We ask you to bless us this day and always, to help us as we go on the path that we are traveling, and to keep us ever mindful to keep you at the center of it. We pray this, trusting in your holy, good, and gracious name. Amen.